Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
They said that evil never dies, and yet here I still am. Comic Book Nation, the official podcast of comicbook.com. I am your host, Kofi Outlaw, and with me again today are my co-hosts, Janelle Wheeler.
Hello, everybody.
And Matthew Aguilar.
What up?
And if you couldn't tell from that ominous introduction, today it is the spooky season officially, so we are going dark with some horror. We are going to review the new film, Halloween Kills. Plus, we got to talk about that new Scream trailer that just dropped. We're also going to talk about some of these new trailer we got for Hawkeye, the drama we're having in both the Superman and Spider-Man franchises. We got a lot to get to today, and it could get peppery, which is one of my favorite episodes, you know, kind of types that we have. I love it when things get peppery around here. So let's get started right away, right up the top. The new movie of the week is going to be Halloween Kills, the sequel to David Gordon Green and Danny McBride's 2018 Halloween reboot, which basically acts as a direct sequel to the original Halloween, with Michael Myers having been in prison for 40 years after those original murders, kind of ignoring the rest of the franchise. And Halloween Kills is the sequel that picks up immediately after the ending of the first movie. We kind of now are learning that this new Halloween franchise is literally going to be like one night in kind of like a minute-to-minute type deal. So this picks up the next chapter of the story. And what I will say is, if you've seen the reviews out there about Halloween Kills, I don't know why I'm saying that. I've been hanging out with my kids too long. Halloween Kills, it is more of a divisive chapter. The first chapter of this reboot was almost kind of universally acclaimed by fans as being a kind of really good recreation of the original John Carpenter tone and feel of Halloween, and Michael Myers as the Shape, while still kind of honoring his larger mythology that has kind of grown over time. This movie is a little bit different. It takes a very unexpected approach wherein it involves a lot of the townspeople, and it's kind of this almost like weird anthology movie of just like little vignettes and stories about the townspeople. And the novelty of it, like, and the novelty of the first one was kind of recreating, you know, Carpenter's Halloween style in the way Michael Myers did things and the way it was filmed. This one goes a little bit more fan indulgent by bringing back actors from the original films who were like the original townspeople in kind of the ones, and bringing them now, you know, all these years later back and dealing with like how their characters were traumatized by that night in Michael Myers, and them wanting to now use this new opportunity to go out and get him. And this takes over the movie in a lot of ways. So it's a very kind of jarring and weird shift in focus. I don't know if you sit down and actually watch these movies eventually. I think it'll be different when you sit down and watch all three of these Halloween movies together as like a single night, like big, you know, single night horror, which is, you know, not new to the horror franchise or genre, but as a single night horror story, I think it'll make more sense when you see them together, but it is very jarring having gone all of these years and then the delays and having to kind of try to jump back into this universe and do it in this way by meeting all these other characters and move around and see all this other stuff happening in the town and making the town itself like a bigger universe. It's pretty jarring and it gets pretty weird because, like I say, it plays like a set of weird anthology stories that are horror, but almost like have a weird Tarantino feel to a lot of them, where he's quirky, because everybody has to be made quirky really quick before they get horribly murdered. And this movie is probably the most brutal horror Halloween movie I've ever seen since Rob Zombie.
Well, there's Halloween that
too.
Then.
Yeah.
I mean, people they, like that.
Yeah. I mean, yes, but I mean, in
it's
a kind
rough,
of,
man. It's it, there's it, a couple yeah. that are very rough.
Yeah. In like a torture porn kind of way. Like, yeah, we're going back to hostile torture porn type stuff. Like, where Michael Myers isn't just dispatching people, like he's getting to indulge in dispatching people a little bit. And yeah, it gets kind of crazy. But like I said, I think it's going to be interesting when you step back and watch all of these as one big story, because this will be like the second chapter wherein, like, yes, we expand out in almost like a Tarantino way to see what's going on as this reverberates through the town. The first was just him coming back and the initial attacks and the shock and all that. And this one is how it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, then the third film is going to be kind of, you know, final showdown type stuff. So it's going to be good to see.
That Chicano kid in the chat says, just don't go into it looking to get attached to any of these characters.
Yeah, no, you meet very people true. That are very fun and then, yeah, they die horribly. So, yes, be flexible. That's my advice. Halloween Kills, be flexible. So
do you recommend it?
I would. I mean, I recommend this whole series. And I think Matt, like, very kind of put it in the chat. Are we debating, is this the best reboot of a franchise we've seen, you know, pound for pound, chapter for chapter? And I think while this one is weird and kind of jarring initially, I think there will be a kind of a larger argument to be made when this is all said and done of whether this is the best direct sequel kind of reboot that's ever been pulled off. I think we can go there and talk about that. So I recommend people see it. Plus, it's Halloween season and you ain't got many other choices. So this is out in theaters now. And if you have any kind of Comcast cable subscription, Xfinity subscription, you are automatically signed up for Peacock. All you gotta do is tell your little remote Peacock, and Halloween Kills is also available free on Peacock. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah. I think you're right, though, as far as the when we have the three. This is kind of like a weird middle issue of a story arc.
Yeah.
If we're relaying the comics. And so once you have the trade and you're able to see it all together. But even just as an individual thing, I actually enjoyed it way more than I thought. Because, like, you know me, I'm not, like, the biggest horror person anyway. But Halloween and, like that's just never been my series. So, like, I don't have that, like, love and affinity for it, but I still really enjoyed the quirky, weird characters.
No,
or even just the setups. Like, there's a setup here involving a drone that's just so random, and it's just like, why is that happening? But I don't know, it kind of kept you in the mix.
And that's a weird thing. It's like I said, it's jarring, but it's not bad because there's great character actors for each of these characters. I mean, they even go get people who look like normal people, like real townspeople. It's not like everybody in makeup. And a lot of the kills are they're filmed in a way that lets you know they're supposed to be like vintage slasher kind of 80s. They even look like some of the effects and kind of hokey effects and some of the kills and stuff. So if you're a horror like aficionado, you're going to appreciate a lot of this. There's a lot of Easter eggs for like people in the genre who are really hardcore horror fans. And like you said, each one of these little vignettes is pretty interesting, right? And you do get attached and you care and you're like, oh man, I didn't want to see that person die so horribly. I was hoping they were going to make it, and like, no, they don't make it. But yeah, it is going to be weird. And like, I think the trade is the best kind of comparison you've said, is like, that's a very good thing. It's like single issue, this is weird. But when you read the whole trade, you'll be like, okay, I see how this is good. And there are some of Michael Myers' best sequences in this movie. And what this kind of does for him is make it like he's a really good, he's a pretty efficient killer. Like he's like the Bond or Bourne of killers. Like, seriously, like you put him in a room and he just looks around and he's like, okay, I can murder with this. And he just like, there's just like a thing where somebody has like one of those, you know, neon lights in their kitchen.
Oh my God, I was thinking that same one.
Yeah, and that, you're like, that's not a bad idea. Like, if I'm ever in it, like, that's a good idea. If I need a weapon, like, yeah.
I had to turn away. That one hurt me.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot that hurt you in this one. So, yes, I recommend Halloween Kills. All right, but check it out. We have our review on comicbook.com horror. We have a great review if you want to break it down in more detail. So check that out. And, yeah, like I said, it's on Peacock or in theaters now. I wasn't expecting this because I've been off this week. I've been taking some break while the kids are on break. But we got a new trailer for Scream. We have a new Scream movie that's coming out in 2022. And yeah, this was the first teaser for it. And I didn't think I could be lured back into a Scream movie. I really didn't. Like, I was highly skeptical. I saw all the way through Scream 4. I was a 90s kid. These were like our movies. When these first came out, the first Scream blew our minds. Two killers? What? Like, what are you talking about here? So I love that series. I saw it through Scream 4. I tried to hang with everything for the series and all that, but this looks like it could actually pull it off, like another direct sequel. So how long will we be talking about Halloween before we have to now raise up this Scream franchise possibly as another contender for, you know, really good reboot? And if you haven't checked out the trailer, do go watch it on comicbook.com horror. It's up there right now. And basically, it's just Scream again. But what does this one do? It like the Halloween reboot, it kind of understands what made the original fun and how to update that in certain ways. And so there's a whole element, and they do the same thing they did for the original Scream, right? They show you the scene of like the first kill with like the Drew Barrymore, now whoever the new actress is. I'm not up on these kids yet. But what's fun about this one is now, it shows you how you can play with the things like technology in our lives, right? So there's whole first sequences about that playing on our phone and playing
such
our phone
good,
and then hacking her like home security system and unlocking the doors and locking the doors and unlocking the doors.
I'm
and
not
doing
about that life.
Yeah, and that is why my locks will never be too.
You going analog? Agreed. No. Everybody's running now back to analog
I'm
locks.
I'm worried about the AI taking over and killing us.
Like, I mean, then I still put stuff in front of my doors.
There's
right?
no like, need I'm, to worry
so
about
do
it.
I.
Yeah.
No, I'm a simple man, you know, tying a string to a can if I think I'm in a strange place just to see old pirate tricks and whatnot.
We are definitely showing our age right now.
Yeah,
I'm all
about the old pirate tricks, balancing something on the top ledge, you know, some blood
Dude,
simple
I
type stuff.
Do this. That's so good to know I'm not the only one.
No, nah, man, I'm old school with the tricks. I was raised
Dude, I had, when I was in, I can't remember exactly when, I think this was after college, but there was an apartment. I was living in Houston again, and it was an apartment that had an especially big window, and it was in the bedroom. And I'm not kidding, because like I was single at the time, I rarely slept in the bedroom. Like I always fell asleep on the couch, right? So like I barely even used it. But because I didn't have eyes on it, I didn't like that. So I literally stacked all of my moving boxes in front of that window. I covered the window. The window was like super tall.
Forever.
And I had a massive boxes there. I never moved them. They were there for the entire year I lived there.
Vampire.
And then I moved out. I was like, no one is getting in that window without me knowing.
But to bring it all back, the great thing about this Scream movie is this new Ghostface killer seems really smart. He would have gotten around that. I mean, he would have messed with you.
He would have. He would have
gotten you.
But like for your ordinary person, I just want to know. Like, I just want to know stuff's coming.
But this is okay. So if you guys can't track this, this is how well this trailer has done. Is it's already freaked out my entire team. They're having traumatic memories of the stacking boxes in front of windows. Everybody's like, yeah, but it did a good job of making you freaked out in your own house again. Right. Like,
I think
in 2021. So mission accomplished. And they bring back cast members for these things. It can be really cheesy, but having like I got like that little thrill when I saw Neve Campbell
right
step back.
Come on,
and Sydney Prescott, that line, I mean, and already she's dropping lines like an action hero. I'm Sydney Prescott, of course I've got a gun. Like, yeah,
so good. Just,
so
David
good.
And even David Arquette and Courtney Cox, it's like
yes,
good to have them
back. Loved seeing them. I'm so
Although,
glad that everybody
hate,
came back.
Yeah, me too. And then this, like, it made me again, it feels like the original Scream just years later, but still right. something like preserved and fun and going to be surprising again.
I
and
think
in the sequences look fun. So
you made the comparison, right? Because you even said like this very much. I feel like how you like this trailer partially is just because of like when you grew up. Right. And for me, like I'm not a big horror person, but the franchises I did gravitate to were in that block of time. It was kind of bookended by Scream. And then in the middle was like, I Know What You Did Last Summer. And then it was like Final Destination, like that Final Destination kind of bookends that kind of 96 to like early 2000s of when horror movies grabbed me. And so this very much like I get mad at the things I yelled at people in the like Halloween for like, why would you do that? Like, that's so stupid. You're going to die. Right. And I'll let that slide in a Scream. Why? Because just I have a personal affinity for that franchise. So like, I feel like for what Halloween and what Halloween Kills likely did for those fans of the franchise, that got me hyped like that. That I'm excited for it.
I will also say we can't take away that Scream's charm, and what it does is it is also very meta. So it uses tropes of horror in a way, in a smart way, to kind of fool you about what it's actually going to do. But it got harder to do that because then it had to start getting meta on itself until it was just eating itself with meta-ness.
It became Deadpool.
Yeah. And so I think what they're doing is smart again. And I can already see the humor, because there is humor in Scream too. There's a joke. It is a kind of winking joke about horror itself. And I think what's kind of funny about this one is they are just kind of doing that meta thing, but just for, like I said, for 2021, like with smart houses and things like that, and being like, yep, this is how Scream functions today, because we've done all this stupid stuff that can still get us killed really easy, and, you know, really making you scared of all this stuff you think you're protected by, which is going to be a neat little trick. So, like I said, check out that trailer, Scream 2022. It's now on comicbook.com horror. You should really go check that out, because, this one's a surprise. So, all right, I think we should take a break, pay these bills. Then we're going to get into this deep stuff we got to talk about. We got to talk about what's going on with the Spider-Man franchise, that Hawkeye trailer, what's going on with Superman that has everybody up in arms and my neighbor coming to me in the front of my yard and all that. And so, yeah, we're going to talk about all this.
I can't wait to hear that story.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back. We're back. And I didn't get scared this time. So good for me. All right. Let's talk about what is going on with Spider-Man. Matt, do you want to kind of take us through this one?
Holland,
you were muted there for a sec. Start over.
So Tom Holland set off the internet and got everybody buzzing. Of course, everyone just wants a poster. That's all that's making the rounds on Twitter for No Way Home. But then he comes out here and does an interview and says, and I'm just going to read the quote, because this is what everybody got to bear everybody in arms. We were all treating No Way Home as the end of a franchise, let's say. I think if we were lucky enough to dive into these characters again, you'd be seeing a very different version. It would no longer be the Homecoming trilogy. We would give it some time and try to build something different and tonally change the films. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. But we were definitely treating No Way Home like it was coming to an end, and it felt like it. Which then just blew everybody's mind, because obviously people were very much like, oh, well, you know, once this movie hits, and especially with the tease Venom 2, which we can talk about now, you know, like, it's kind of like everyone was kind of looking forward to that happening. And now it's kind of like, well, when is that happening? Because obviously they didn't put it there for nothing. So it's going to happen. But like, when is that happening if we're kind of doing a reset? There was all these questions coming up. So, I mean, what do you guys feel about that?
I mean, I'm not surprised. I don't know why everyone's acting like they didn't know this. Like, we know that Tom Holland's like, I want to take a break after this film. And I mean, it makes sense. Like, they're going to focus on the other projects. Like, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised that everybody's so surprised.
Yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of Hollywood speak in that answer. Like, they don't basically, I'm not going to be surprised if nobody touches Spider-Man for a hot minute and just like lets that franchise sit before they figure out what to do next with the actual Spider-Man. But that doesn't mean like there's not going to be Spider-Man films. Sony's building a whole universe. They've already kind of booked things up through 2022. You know, the next Venom movie can arguably be in 2023 and be all about Spider-Man.
Well, I was going to say, do they just pivot there and just make that like Venom gets the big battle, as we all would have, all assumed it would be Spidey that gets that battle, but.
No, I mean, Venom, yes. Yeah, so, I mean, Sony's probably, the deal I feel like was always about Marvel getting to tell this story using Spider-Man, its flagship character, before Sony in the back end gets to get a a backdoor pilot and prop up for their Sony universe that would never have had the clout otherwise.
Yeah.
And that's part of bringing Venom in and, you know, then returning him to his own universe, which they've already tried to get everybody. Andy Serkis has tried to tell you guys, like, this is going to be a blip in and a back a blip out, and we're going to be back in our own universe. You know, Spider-Man could be in that universe. They could do anything. Maybe Andrew Garfield wasn't really involved in No Way Home, except for that last scene where he gets to get back in the suit and, you know, do other Spider-Man things in a new universe. Like, we don't know. There's so many things they can do. Miles Morales, as people saying in the comments, could be headed to the MCU as that Spider-Man for a while, you know, Tom Holland gets a break to do something else for a little bit. But Spider-Man, quote unquote, doesn't go away, or Spider-Gwen or Spider-MJ, like they're trying to set up, or whatever is going to happen.
Spider-Woman.
You know? Yeah, Spider-Woman, like, you know, Jessica Drew. Like, there's so many ways to take this. So doing Holland and them getting a break after this is not surprising. They want a break. They want to do other things. But the Spider-Man franchise itself is in so many directions and going to be in so many even bigger directions after No Way Home that, like, that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, but I did see that Cunning Linguist said, why did this worry anyone? Because it's the internet. Because if one person says anything remotely close to this is ending, just like ticket, 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 ticket. That's all going to happen. Okay. People like,
yeah. All Will Smith has to say is me and my wife. And then it's like a whole week of headlines after that, you know, it's the internet. So moving right along from that. What do you guys want to say? What do you guys want to see happen? What do you guys want to see happen with No Way Home? I put that in there and as the kind of question this week. What do you guys want to see happen after this? Like, as I want to see, like, I know some people, and just I'm speaking to the camp of people are going to say, Tom Holland to get his own actual Spider-Man movie. And it's like, I get that. But, like, at this point, we've been with Holland so long. Like, I feel like even if he were to get a whole Spider-Man movie, like, to himself, I don't know if I'd be as interested in that anymore. He's just nickel and dimed all the pieces of this character out and all the various things he's kind of appeared in. Like, I'm never going to get a better dramatic scene from him, I don't think, than, you know, his death scene in Infinity War. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm not stumping for Holland to get his own Spider-Man movie. I think that ship sailed and you just got to kind of make your peace with it. I would like to see something crazy, like one of the older Spider-Men suit up again, or just go into Miles Morales or Spider-Girl or Spider-Gwen or somebody else. That's kind of what I want to see. And I want my Spider-Man 2099 movie somehow, so I don't know how that happens.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on that. I just want to see it go somewhere else. I really want to see Spider-Woman. I just think it'd be so, 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 so cool. And, you know, more Venom. I really like Venom, so any way to get Spider-Man and Venom kind of interacting, I would be really satisfied with that. I know that that's kind of debatable with many, many other people, but I would personally love more of that interaction. So,
yeah, I think that's the way to go with Spidey taking on Venom and just making that Venom 3 and give that franchise, you know, that big, giant fight that everyone's been waiting for. And I agree with Janelle. Like, I saw this news, and when you read the quote, it's kind of okay, well, duh, like they're gonna reset, because this is very much an MCU Sony joint project. So if Sony gets to now just run rampant and do whatever they want, they're gonna need some time to put all the pieces in place. I mean, to this point, we've only had Venom movies in Sony's Spidey universe. Like, they've announced a bunch of stuff, but, like, none of those other things have actually come to fruition yet, as opposed to Venom. Like, that's the only one. So there's other dominoes that need to fall. So I agree. I'm all on board. Everyone knows is Spider-Woman. I think that's a next great jump. And also because the character, yes, has Spider in the name, but also is very much her own character and isn't really tied to the Spider family as much as others. So you can do a lot with her. And then you bring them all together later. We can get Spider-Gwen and we get Miles. Like, you can really build out your Spider-Verse here in the break. So, I mean, I think that's smart.
I want to see a twist where you get Alfred Molina's Doc Ock inhabiting one of the other Spider-Men, like Andrew Garfield, and we get Superior Spider-Man.
Superior! Oh!
And he survives, and that's like the post-credit scene of No Way Home is like, it looks like Garfield Spider-Man dies fighting Doc Ock, but he actually just kind of mind
Explaining that entire storyline always makes me cringe because
it's just so good.
You're going to get all the looks of like, what the hell is this? Why are you talking to me about this? But in execution, flipping loved it. I would love to see it, you know?
Yeah, no, I would love to see that. That'd be great. Just having, and then Alfred Molina can just narrate. He said he's old, his back hurts. He can just narrate from like interior Tony Stark style. Yes. Like, well, it's just Andrew Garfield, because Andrew Garfield would be great playing Superior Spider-Man.
Yes.
He's a sinister there. Eyebrows, but you know, I'm just an idea, man. Nobody ever listens. Here we go. But that's going on with Spider-Man, and like, yeah, we're not surprised. Hawkeye trailer. What'd you guys think?
Janelle?
You guys down with Die Hard Marvel and this Christmas stuff? I heard some tweets saying. Some people, some of my buddies from the other side, I don't name from legal reasons, have been going off about this, about how like Marvel Studios doesn't know what to do with Hawkeye, really. And I just said, you know, and to a fair point, Marvel Comics has never known what to do with Hawkeye either. So,
oh boy, I always used to think I was the only one on the I didn't like Hawkeye Island.
I love Hawkeye.
I'm not a big Hawkeye guy.
I'm a Hawkeye heart and soul of the Avengers guy.
But this is the one causing. I don't understand this. This is the one causing everybody like meh. He's been meh the entire time. This is the only time he's cool, and it's just because Hayley Steinfeld's Kate Bishop is right there. I'm looking forward to this one, and I find myself on a weird seesaw. Like, I'm the one now up in the air excited, and everybody's like meh, it's whatever. I don't know, it's just so weird to me.
Yeah, I'm not super pumped about it, but I'm absolutely gonna watch it because obviously, like, it's content. But yeah, I'm not very pumped about it. It's holidays. I'm really excited about something MCU holidays. That's
the Christmas
cool.
music hits. Like,
that's
right at the
really
beginning.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
I think the Christmas thing is doing more for this show than people realize. Like,
I agree
take
that
away. If it's just Hawkeye on the street, I think people would be much less interested than like Christmas in New York and seeing the bright holiday things and. Things that people really, and it's going to be timely this year because we need like a reminder of like bright Christmas outside, like in the world type deal. And if it's a weird way we get it is watching Hawkeye jump out of windows. Hey, maybe it is.
It's the most.
And as stupid and derivative as it may be, I think Marvel Does Die Hard is actually, or Die Hard or Live Free or Die Hard really is what we're doing here. If you really want to get technical with the Hayley Steinfeld stuff, but yeah,
great.
I mean, it's going to work just because, just on the novelty alone of that, it's just going to
work. The band's going to make it.
Yeah. Oh my God.
You're welcome for that.
But there are so many other cool things in the show that I'm excited for. Like, these people are going to be fighting like legit assassins. We're going to get the debut of a new kind of Marvel anti-hero in Echo. Yelena Belova is going to be in this, and kind of Belova is going to be making, like, Florence Pugh will be making an appearance. There's going to be cool fights and stuff like that. And there are funny parts. The whole thing about there are more dangerous arrows than this is, if you're like a parent right now, like, that's actually, there's a funny parenting element to this. And like, I could see like my son asking me if I were like training him and stuff, would be like, whoa, like here are bigger arrows than this that blow up. So there's, I mean, it's cute. It's harmless. It's weird. And they're throwing everything to appeal to you other than the actual Hawkeye character, which is their best bet. Right. So good luck. I'm done.
That's well said.
I thought you wrapped it perfectly.
I'm with you on this, on all of it, honestly.
Yeah, and bring the Kingpin back. If you do something like that, that'll be crazy. I'm with you guys. I'm with you guys. Bring the Kingpin back, and I'll be happy too. Anybody else have any Hawkeye talk?
I mean, I just agree with the comments that like this does feel. There are a lot of parts of this trailer that do feel like straight out of the comics, and I know that run has a lot of love. So like. It is cool for comic fans to really see that come to life. I'm just hyped for Kate Bishop, man. Marvel just announced the Kate Bishop limited series. Like they're all aboard the train too. So more than merry. Let's do that.
Nah, Kate Bishop. I mean, Kate Bishop has long deserved some bigger exposure. It has been kind of weirdly criminal how she hasn't been able. That was like an easy TV show you could have pulled off. There's a lot of stuff you could have done with that all over the years. But all right, that's neither here nor there. Let's jump over to. I want to kind of just reverse order. We'll do DC fandom next. Let's talk about the Superman stuff real quick. All right. So Superman controversy. It was announced this week that Superman, quote unquote, you know, Jonathan Kent, Clark Kent's son, Jonathan Kent, will come out as LGBTQ+. Specifically, he will be bisexual. and this has set the world off, right? Dean Cain's opening his mouth and saying stuff.
Oh, God, Dean Cain.
My neighbor came to my yard, but to my credit, my neighbor, who is a school teacher, he came to my yard, and he kind of asked me if I heard about it, and he said, I don't get why people are, like, making this big deal, like, about this. Like, is that supposed to be, like, shocking these days? And I was like, I don't think so. And my answer to this when I heard it is, I went back and I just quickly, what I always do is context, right? Like, context matters. And I feel like if this was a certain type of character we were talking about and it felt like just an arbitrary change, like, there would be a reason to maybe have an issue with it. But, like, as soon as I heard it was Jonathan Kent, and I went back and looked at the character real quick, and I was just like, yeah, that feels like makes sense. Like, if you told me Jonathan Kent was bisexual, I'd be like, yeah, probably. Like, it wouldn't, and that's not like, right. There's no insinuation under that. It just, like, wouldn't surprise me.
Right.
Because great hair.
He's not depicted as, like, this hyper, and that's what me and my neighbor got into. Like, have they been depicting this guy as, like, a 1950s macho man who's, like, sticking out his chest and.
No way.
And
just,
right. Yeah.
Like,
not at all.
You know, chasing tail every day. Like, no, he's been sensitive. He's like every modern kid I see depicted. He's sensitive. He's all over the place. He's got deep brooding feelings. Like, all this. You tell me now he's bisexual. Like, yeah. Yeah. He's complicated, period. Like, I get
love it.
And it's it doesn't so surprise fitting. Me. It didn't surprise me when you told me Tim Drake was bisexual. I was like, yeah, I can see that. You know, that makes sense to me too. Like,
yeah.
Just be based on the character. Like, if you told me that kid had been struggling with those feelings for a long time, which is how they presented the story and finally, you know, found himself, I'd be like, I could have told you that from the schoolyard. Tim Drake might have been, you know,
right.
Into other guys. Like, that doesn't surprise me. And Yara Flor, who the new Wonder Girl, why shouldn't she get all the tail she wants? I mean, she's gorgeous. She can pull that. Like, yeah.
I love her.
Like, she's pulling, she's an Amazon. She's pulling girls. She's pulling guys. Like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense to me too. So none of this surprised me personally because I read the characters and context is everything, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, yes.
And so this didn't surprise me that the new crop of super kids is thing. I don't know what my own kids are going to say to me. They could be, you know, 8 hexagon polysexual by the time I get to this age. So who knows? Just preparing. So yeah, none of this was surprising to me personally. It doesn't feel arbitrary. It feels like this fits the kid and it would make sense to me. So
right. Yeah.
There we are.
No.
Yeah. You know? The point is it's not jarring. It fits and I enjoy it. Like, and they've done a heck of a job with these storylines. And I'm not afraid of where it's gonna go at all. I'm actually really looking forward to it. And yeah, I love it. And I love that they announced it on coming out day. Like it was really exciting for not just me, but like a lot of my friends who were part of that community, they were really pumped.
Right.
So,
and that comes up, right. Cause I know there was, you know, obviously, unfortunately, these kinds of, you know, reveals and announcements automatically get pegged as, PR stunts. That's all you see.
To
an extent it is, but it's also one of those things where it can be both a smart opportunity to like talk about a character and also get them like get this information out there
and also a celebration
of them.
Yeah.
And this, you know what I mean? So like, yeah, it becomes all like, it always has that negative connotation. And I feel like we need to take that out of it sometimes and be like, look, it is realistically something they wanted to announce on this day.
I just, not to stop you, but I want to just respond to something in the comments in real time, because this is just I know some people think they're making an argument here that's logical, but there's a point where you're just reciting a line. Like right now, if you're saying make new characters that are of these sexualities and not old characters, convert them, like that's just a line you're saying because Jonathan Kent is a new character. Yeah. Jonathan Kent is a new character. He's only like a couple of years old. He's Superman's son and with Lois Lane and he's a teenager. He's only been created recently. So he is a new character.
Yara's a new character.
Yeah, like, Yara's a new character.
Tim Drake's the only one from the 90s.
Technically in canon, he's still a young character. Like he's not a fully grown character. So this is a new character. Because he has the name Superman doesn't mean he's not a new character. Like, and that you can't make the name Superman can't be any kind of other sexuality. There's different characters who are going to be Superman. There's a black Superman from another reality. This is Superman's son from a certain reality. This is who he is. You know, they're going to be different Supermen, but this is a new character. So let's just put that on the table.
Agree.
Okay. We can keep moving past that. Yeah. Janelle, did you have anything else you wanted to weigh in before we move on?
I'm just really excited about all of it. I'm really pumped. I'm loving these comics, and I'm loving because I am new to a lot of the DC content. I really do feel like I've always leaned into Marvel. So like seeing DC and how much they do, like especially in comics, I've just been really enjoying the DC comics. I know you guys have like gotten on to me for the DC stuff, but I've loved the DC
I did
comics
not. I
and
did
the
not.
Batman. I've been about it. So I'm just pumped. I'm really excited. I'm really excited about all of it.
I will never get on you for that.
Yes. And we just went over this. Yes, Superman is not a new character, but his son is in. This would be new no matter how you took it, whether sexuality was involved or not. So,
DC content, the Batman posters. We did just get a call to that in the chat, which happened during, I think, our welcome screen, by the way.
All right. Well, we're going to start talking DC fandom and we'll see about these posters.
Yeah. Perfect.
All right. So let's make the hop over. Matt, you want to kind of take us through some DC fandom stuff?
Yeah, it's more about, you know, we know that there are a couple of things we know. Obviously, we know that the Batman trailer, it's probably going to be the biggest reveal.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're all here for.
Of the show.
We're going to be sticking around for that.
They did release a teaser for it. And I got to say, I said this when we first talked about the original teaser, that like Pattinson was on his way to becoming my favorite Batman voice. Granted, the competition, like, I don't tend to like a lot of the gravelly, like, I can't stand Bales. Like, they're so over the top, right? But this is so far, and we got another tease where he says a line, this Batman voice rules. Like, I'm so excited. Like, if it keeps up this pace, he's going to easily be my favorite Batman voice. So we know that's going to be the big thing. We obviously also know that the upcoming Suicide Squad game and Gotham Knights, they have been heavily teasing things. We know those are also going to have trailers most likely, but also hopefully, for the love of Lord, release dates, because like that's the biggest thing with those games. We know we're gonna get a Peacemaker, you know, kind of big rollout debut, I'm sure, for that HBO Max series. And then it's kind of like, okay, well, what do we expect? What other stuff do we expect? For me, I'm hoping to get like an Aquaman look. I imagine that we will get some kind of featurette or something. I don't know if we'll get a full trailer, but we'll get like a teaser or a featurette or something about the new Aquaman. For me, the biggest thing is like a Batgirl HBO Max first look something. I don't care if it's just an image of her from the set or whatever. Like, I'm excited to see that come to fruition. So I'm hoping there. You know, I would hope for HBO Max. Look at HBO Max's Green Lantern series that we've talked about a lot on this show. So, I mean, those are the big things I'm hoping for. And then the things we know that are coming. What do you guys want to see happen? Is there something?
Me and Janelle just tried to give you guys a low tech. Oh, Nick is on it. Nick Floyd,
yes,
in the background.
Nick.
He's a baller.
Let's go.
Yeah, so that's one of our new Batman posters. Yeah, I mean,
I like the second one better.
The Riddler one. Don't stretch him.
The
he
Riddler
just got
one
this
is
one. Yeah,
sick.
We got this one up. That was like a minor tech miracle.
I'm sorry, Nick.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. God. So, there's the Riddler. Yeah, there you go. So these capture the creepy tone. This is good. The Batman is my headlining thing. Obviously, everybody's been waiting years, literally, to see this trailer. So I'm really looking forward to it. But I think DC has a lot more cards than we think, like right now. And I think people forget how deep, and this was the time for them to spin off their own thing, because they've organized it in a way that's fun for us. Like, here are the movies, here are the TVs, here's the gaming, and here are the comics. Here, you know, pick your thing, like, here, we're going to do it. And obviously they start with not the weakest end, but the one that's going to generate the least interest, or they give you a little taste of each throughout the day. And they organize it well, and it's easy to follow. So I'm looking forward to the Batman trailer, but I'm mostly looking forward to just seeing the first looks, like you said, of things. Because there's, when you just talk about first looks, first look at the new Aquaman stuff and finding out, are we getting Aqualad and Calder or Garth, or how is that all going to play out? What is the concept of that story? Same with Shazam and Black Adam, just seeing the costumes and all that stuff.
The Flash, I keep forgetting.
The Flash.
Alex in the comments says, nobody said anything about Flash.
Yeah, no. Alex, poor Alex. I'm sorry, Alex, man. Like, I feel like we're letting you down today big time. But yeah, the Flash trailer, like we want to see a teaser, because that, I mean, that's epic right there. Just seeing the two Batman on screen, like Michael Keaton and Ben Affleck, will shut things down. Yeah, just seeing The Rock in his Black Adam costume debut and Hawkman and all that cool stuff and the visual concepts for that movie will shut things down. But HBO Max, like you said, the Batgirl series, anything about and just any information about Gotham PD and like what's going on with that, just the funniness of Peacemaker. I feel like there's something else on HBO Max we're also forgetting that could be revealed. The animated side, looking at, I would love if they did Harley Quinn and did something, made some kind of reference joke to the Batman, kind of controversy about the Batman Catwoman sex thing and kind of joked with that.
Blue Beetle, Zatanna.
Bruce Timm's new animated series. Yeah. Like all of these are even minor things. And just the games, Gotham, what's it called?
Gotham Knights
and Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League and all that stuff. And, you know, yeah, they got a lot of cards this year. There's a lot of fun stuff that we can just get looks at.
Oh, Naomi too. Yes. Naomi. Oh, so excited for that. I saw that. Thank you, Gold Rhapsody, for shouting that out in the comments.
Yeah, man, there's a lot of fun things and just things they could announce too. Like, I mean, just a whole slate of new stuff they could announce or just confirm. Because DC has had like, I mean, it's a whole Schrodinger's cat over there. Like everything is alive and dead at the box at the same time. And so like anything we can figure out is alive again, like, you know, it'll be really good to see. So I'm really kind of looking forward to Fandom in a big way.
Question in the chat. Does anyone know how many hours DC Fandom will be, Alex?
How many hours you got? No, I'm just kidding. It is long. It was all day last time.
It was
8 a.m. to like 8 p.m. or something crazy. It was
longer than I thought. Oh my gosh.
It was a lot. And the thing was, aside from like a stray panel here and there, they filled that time last time around.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't split all over the place. Comic Cons are kind of like you just had to watch. You could watch the stream all day, and there was a reason for you to come back. And they give you things that you are obviously break periods, like. Let's talk about this one person drawing a live Batman. It's like, okay, time for me to go pee, make some lunch, like, you know, do all this stuff right now. I'll be back in an hour.
J-Matt saying 24 hours.
Yeah, but I think, is it full 24 hours or is it two broadcasts of the 12-hour thing? I forget which one.
That would make sense. Yeah. I feel like that because they do sleeping.
Yeah, people do it in different time zones. I think they do two back-to-back 12-hour broadcasts is what I think it is. Anyway, in this, yes, this... This is a Schrodinger's cat show. We are always alive and dead in the show at the same time. We just see each week which one it is. But so a lot to look forward to at Fandom. We are going to have a full breakdown of this ongoing thing on comicbook.com DC. So be sure you guys tune in all day because you're going to want to be here for all the latest. You know, Brandon Davis is going to be fast tweeting all of this stuff. So check that out. Check out a Comic Book Nation Twitter feed. We'll be kind of backing up and letting you guys know all the big highlights. We suss out all the little stuff, let you know all the big stuff. So be sure to follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Nation. But let's jump over. Let's go. I think is this it? All we got to do now is comics, right?
Yeah.
All right. Good time for comics. Let's talk it. Matt, take us away.
Yeah, so it's funny that we're talking about Fandom and, like, you know, potential comic announcements because DC kind of released just some like early looks and announcements of their own. The biggest one would be the new Chip Zdarsky series, Batman the Knight, which is coming at the top of next year. It's a 10-issue limited series. And it's weird because when I first saw it and like they do, hey, here's a look at Batman's origin, like eye rolls hit automatically because I'm like, oh my God, how many times I got to see this thing play out? If I see the pearls flying one more time, I'm going to vomit, right? Like it happens sometimes, right? But what's interesting is like the whole, and this seems in continuity, by the way, it's not like its own tale. It seems like that way that it's in continuity. It's filling in the time between when his parents actually passed, when they actually died, and like the days after. And then when he became Batman. So it's kind of like, because like in year one and other things, we've seen his early days as Batman, but there's not a ton of stuff out there that like really dives into the kind of the time in between. Like we've seen the stuff with like, you know, the League of Shadows and things like that. We've seen some of that like training and stuff, but like this is supposed to kind of delve into more like how he got to wanting to do that in the first place, like sorting through all the grief and all those things in between. If someone can make that work, Chip Zdarsky is one of the people that can make work. His recent stuff in Urban Legends and Cheer was excellent, and it kind of delved with some of that pain in his past. So I have hope for that. Like the concept wasn't necessarily something I was like, oh yeah, I need that. But if with like 9 Batman books out, this is at least an interesting take on that particular thing. And then also we got a new Daredevil series, ironically, from spinning off from Chip Zdarsky's Daredevil series where Elektra became Daredevil. We now have the Woman Without Fear series that's going to kind of continue that. And then in Daredevil, you know, he's been in prison and stuff like that, but they'll sort that out. So that's going to be put into its own series. So lots of stuff going on there in Chip Zdarsky's world. Moving into comics this week, this is actually the finale, and I'm kind of sad, of Star Wars War of the Bounty Hunters. I know.
Oh, it's no, Matthew.
Well, it's okay. It's the finale of this arc, which I was going to get to. Because like the things we've talked about today, this is a trilogy. And we got actually at the end of this book, we got a lot of kind of like, hey, here's when those are coming. Hey, here's your first look at the next one. Like there was a lot of information kind of at the end of this book. But for this first arc, this is kind of the finale to this. I know we've been loving these books overall, but you know, Kofi, what'd you feel about this one in particular?
Oh, I just hit the wrong button.
He's like, I'm not.
Oh, man. I think War of the Bounty Hunters reminded me a lot of the X-Men crossover Ten of Swords, in which it kind of teases epic crossover, but it's really just a party. But it was a fun party. So, like I said, we always knew that this series was kind of operating within limited parameters because it has to fit within the larger canon of Star Wars while telling this epic tale that brings all these key players together without interrupting anything that happens by the time we get to Return of the Jedi. And they pulled that off. They threaded that needle and they even helped set some things even in clear explanation for why things are the way they are. Like why is Jabba so powerful by Return of the Jedi and like what's going on. And yeah, there are a lot of teases. Yes. I'm going to get to this. And they also tease some things within the canon still that surprise you and make you say, oh, I didn't know this could still exist, like between now things moving in to out of the original trilogy into the sequel trilogy and the time of the Mandalorian and all that. Like, oh, they tease some things in just one picture at the end of this, and you're like, wait a minute. And people in the comments are referencing it and kind of saying that. Because, yeah, and I'll just say the spoiler, like, yeah, there's this arc just brings back Crimson Dawn and it kind of sets up things that the Knights of Ren and the Crimson Dawn are connected and stuff like that, and that's going to keep fans going in for the next arc, Crimson Reign, which shows how Crimson Dawn tried to really seize power, and probably through the chaos of the Empire's collapse and all that stuff. So, pretty exciting stuff, and these Star Wars comics continue to surprise us with how well they can find spaces to play within canon and make it exciting and keep it going, too. So, not only did this series re-bring back Kira in a way, because people really love that character from Solo, but you know we never felt like we're getting Emilia Clarke was ever going to get the chance to do that again. So now we have Kira back as a major character. And it's also set up a variety of the other books in the crossover for exciting new arcs. Like where does Dr. Aphra go from here? Where do even some of the bounty hunters that have grown on me go from here? It all kind of has worked out in that way. So, yeah, Star Wars comics are official, man. And if you guys aren't checking them out, you should be.
Yeah. Janelle, what'd you think?
Yeah, I am shocked because, again, I am a casual Star Wars fan. So
but you're the controller for this experiment. That's why you're here. People don't understand.
Dude, I loved this book. I love the series. I cannot wait for more of the Crimson Dawn, even though I know nothing about them. Like, I am so excited. I actually think this is my favorite book of all of the books that we read this week. And I'm just blown away that I like this. Like, I would rather read this than watch one of the films. I'm that into it. So I'm just really, really excited about a comic book, and it makes me really pumped about it. I feel like we get more context and information on even like Jabba the Hutt and just like Boba Fett is so Boba Fett. Like, it's just so good. And I'm just really excited about this book. Like, if you guys have not checked it out, you really, really should check these out, because even if you're a casual consumer of Star Wars, I think this will make you want to rewatch the films and get excited about things again.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree. I agree with, and there were tie-ins too, and we didn't really read these here. And I didn't read any of the tie-ins really.
I read them all. Because
I had to, yeah, right. And I figured like that was the opposite for Kofi. And like for me, I didn't feel like it was missing anything. I read these back to forth and like I didn't feel like it was missing, but I imagine if you read all the tie-ins, it would make this even better, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a very Rashomon story. And if you don't know what Rashomon is, it's just kind of the same series of events from different people's perspective. And the tie-ins even did good. Some of them were obscure. They went into like obscure bounty hunter characters, but made them fun and gave them context and just made these minor Star Wars characters kind of fun. So,
awesome. Yeah. And that's what you want, right? Tie-ins are supposed to do that. Like they're supposed to be supplemental, but add something. But they're not supposed to like be required.
No, and they pulled that off.
They did a very good job here. And I agree with Janelle. Like it actually made me like I was this one issue especially, I was hype. Like I was just like came out of that on a Star Wars high. And I was like, oh, this is I can't wait for that next series. Which actually hits in December.
Yeah.
Remember right?
Crimson Ringing hits in December.
So that's awesome too, because I'm also like, if you're going to like wait for that announcement, make it where it's only a month and a half away, you know, like I don't have to wait that long to like jump into that next one. So, yeah,
no, this has been giving me my Star Wars fix and I need that to continue. I don't know what'll happen if it doesn't. So
fingers crossed. Let's hope. So let's move into, I know, James Bond has been a topic of things recently and Dynamite just launched a new, miniseries, James Bond, Imaros. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Imaros.
It was Greek, and I was like trying to say it. I listened to a pronunciation on it, and it seemed Imaros was the way they said it. So I'm hoping that's correct. I'm not up on my Greek. This one kind of, again, this is very, you know, I feel like anyway, like straightforward Bond. You know, we get the introduction of the villain at the beginning, and we kind of see how lethal they are. And then we don't really see Bond till about midway through the book.
A minor presence in this book.
Yeah, he's very much like, I mean, there's a battle scene kind of towards the end that felt, you know, very Bondy. And you get a good setup, I feel like, for the next issue. But most of this particular issue revolves around Kino, who is the villain of the piece, and then the person they are trying to save, which if I recall correctly, what was her name?
If you can't remember, it's okay.
I feel bad. Sarah Richmond. There it is.
Don't feel too bad.
So I feel bad. But she's kind of the person that Bond needs to protect. And there's this whole plot. I thought they actually did a really good job of like the overall plot, I thought was interesting and how they kind of explained that out. I just thought like as a launch, it wasn't like the most riveting Bond story. But I mean, what do you guys think?
Oh, man. I don't think Bond is an interesting comic book concept altogether. I never have. It's just not, there's nothing so visual about the Bond franchise that makes me want to see it. I mean, it's just a talkie, really. And this was a talkie, and there was just so much talkie, and it's just like, and I don't mind talkie, but it wasn't just kind of generic
X-Men.
Espionage. Yeah, generic. There's generic espionage talk and like, yeah, and like all these people who none of the art and none of the action was dynamic enough to make me care about them all together that much. And Bond was a minor presence. So this book was kind of a misstep for me. I would have rather done Batman Imposter, which was not too much different, but just, you know, a little bit more exciting.
Yeah. Janelle, what'd you think?
I didn't hate this. Bond content is not really my thing, but I didn't mind this. I would say take it or leave it for me, but not bad. I honestly, Kofi, I cannot believe this. I did not notice the talkiness. I didn't even realize. And now that you're saying it, I'm like, oh, there was a lot of words there, wasn't it? For whatever reason, I just didn't notice it.
We've established there's nothing wrong with X-Men. You're just an Orcus agent, and we've established it. You're just creeped out by those mutants. I get it. I got it.
I guess I just kind of understood more of what was happening because you don't really need backstory to understand Bond. Like you just kind of know, and it's easy to follow. Again, like I have no problem going forward with this, like reading another book or two, seeing where it goes. But also, like if I didn't get around to it, I'd be okay with that.
I think that explains me too. I think that's where I'm at. It was like, you know, you can read my full review of it on the site. But essentially, it was kind of like, I don't hate it. I don't love it. And if I didn't read another issue, it wouldn't be exactly like heartbroken. You know,
stellar review. It's a comic. It has pictures.
Now, I did that in like, you know, 700 words or whatever. But essentially, that's kind of it. You know, so that's how we go. But we're going to move from there. By the way, Brightwood, I know it's not on our list, but yes, Batman Urban Legends was good. I really liked the Batwoman story that kicked that off. That was actually really good as well. So we're going to move into Amazing Spider-Man. We hit Amazing Spider-Man 75 last time around. Now, because we're on this updated schedule, it's going to be 76, and then we're going to have 2 weeks and then 77, this was the Zeb Wells issue. Last issue was Zeb as well. And then Kelly Thompson takes over for the next two issues, I think. So they're doing this revolving door. So where we left off, though, Ben Reilly screwed up in a lot of ways. Peter Parker is kind of hurting, and you know, they're trying to figure out why, and there's a lot. For me, this issue was very much like, we've talked about how I love Spider-Man, but like there's a very specific mix that I need in my Spider-Man, and it's kind of like that. It was a lot of that when I first came onto the character in the 90s. There was this kind of soap opera dynamic, but it had this perfect mix, and you can go too far either way with it very easily. For me, this issue really was like perfect. Like I was digging all the Aunt May stuff and like her chewing out doctors. And there's this awesome little dynamic between her and Mary Jane and Peter. And then Ben Reilly comes in and like throws everything in the chaos. And Peter's being very quintessential Peter. I'm interested in the Beyond stuff as well. Like there's a lot of, I don't know. It's like this hit the perfect mix for me. I came out like, oh my God, I think I have Spider-Man back. And I was very excited because it's been a while since I've been excited about a damn Spider-Man comic. And this for me was kind of like, I think we have it. I think we're on the right track. So I came away stoked. I'm interested to see what you guys thought.
Janelle, you can go first. I'll do anchor.
This time. Gosh, that makes me nervous. Okay.
I know. It does make me nervous.
You know this. Yeah. The artwork's pretty. Because I don't have a lot of context with this, I don't know Ben's role. I don't know if he's actually a bad guy or a good guy. From having no idea what happened prior, I kind of think he's a tool. So I don't really like Ben, and I don't think that he should just get off scot-free and just walk away and get to be this hero. And, you know, our Spidey, like Peter is not clearly not doing very well. So I don't know. I don't really know how I'm supposed to feel. I don't know if that's something that they want their audience to feel like, oh, you should be torn. You shouldn't know if you should like this guy or not, but I'm kind of confused here. And I'm very worried about Peter. Like, extremely worried, and that is why I have to continue on, because I cannot leave it at that. Like where it is left off is not okay.
Yeah, I feel you're right on too with Ben Reilly. I feel like you're supposed, even for those of us who have followed Spider-Man, I mean Ben Reilly has done some really wonky stuff, and and that character's been in the midst of a lot of things, so like even I'm conflicted on that because I think he's a jerk. But
yeah, okay, good to know. Yeah, okay, but so then they're doing their job. Like they've done a great job, and I am experiencing the correct emotions. Then okay, nailed it. Then I'm happy about it.
All right, Cove, go ahead. Pop my balloon.
I agree with you with a lot of things. I think there's a lot that they do right. I think though this issue, and it's necessary, and I get it. But I think every time they have to do like a Spider-Man changing of the guard, the thing they mistakenly do is they over-dramatize it. And I feel like this one was over-dramatized. I wish it had just been kind of more somber and serious on the Peter side instead of the drama at the hospital and the cartoonishness. Like they were really good because it started off really good. Like I was really thought it was like a powerful thing. Like when Aunt May could tell that it was Ben on the phone or somebody else,
that was great.
And Mary Jane didn't know and couldn't tell the difference. And things like that, that were very kind of subtle and good, were very powerful to me. And even Peter's stuff that he's going through in his head and, you know, sensing danger because his body's failing. And like that early stuff was good. And then the drama just felt kind of hokey. And I was just like, okay. And it just was a big dramatic way of getting, because in the end, this switch out of Peter Parker and Ben Reilly is what it is every time. It's dumb. Like, it's just a dumb reason. Like, out of all the things Spider-Man's been through, like, oops, didn't think the U-Men, you know, the UFOs have radiation, didn't think of that one, and I got zapped, and now I'm dying. It's hokey. It's just as hokey as Mephisto or the clone stuff, but that's neither here nor there. Right. Peter's dying, and this was just a big dramatic way of clearing the stage so that Ben Reilly takes over as Spider-Man.
See, but I don't think doing – it's not a takeover, though. And to me, that's the key part. If it becomes where Ben Reilly is the sole star of the book, which I have no
doubt
that's not going to be, then yes, I agree with that. Like, that's stupid. But it feels like, anyway, the intent is to get two very different storylines going for these two characters.
Yeah.
Just had a discussion about, like, because I agree with you, like, there is an amount of soap opera-ness to this, very much so. And they lean in some ways, but I need that in my Spider-Man. I can easily go over, but we just talked about Superior Spider-Man. That setup is as crazy and hokey as you get, but we both love it.
But it's like, it's crazy in a kind of comic book way, but like, this is like, yeah, Aunt May yelling at the doctors is like an episode of All My Children. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need that in my Spider-Man, but
let's at least highlight the best soap opera, General Hospital.
Oh boy. Anyway, I like Ben Reilly because I don't think he's a jerk. I think he's a guy who was a clone, has been trying to find a life for himself, and has grown a set of cojones over the years, which I like, because he was very much like the aw shucks, I'll just die because I'm Peter Parker's clone, I'll kill myself. Like, in the 90s, that's how they depicted him. It was only after a while that he kind of wanted a life. And the power move of him kind of coming to see Peter is still one of my favorite scenes, of telling him, like, yeah, I own Spider, like, they own Spider-Man now, and that's like me, and I'm taking this life. It's just kind of, and him, and the weird psychological stuff with him, his girl being like a fake Mary Jane and all that stuff. Yeah, it's kind of,
but like okay,
I think this is all interesting. And him finding out that, like, yeah, the Beyond Corporation, he's made a Faustian bargain, is going to be like a really interesting storyline.
Yeah.
So I'm Team Ben Reilly.
He's also okay, but you're not acknowledging a giant chunk in the middle there where, like, he tried to bring all these people back to life, including Uncle Ben, and torture Peter with it. And he went over to Las Vegas and, like, shot people. I was like, his whole
that got muddled. I can only attach to so much of this Spider-Man mythos.
Good guy,
dude. Hey, I don't know what's happened to the character, because the 2010s were weird, man. I don't know a lot of what happened to Spider-Man in the 2010s. Okay. I'm only now checking back.
You were very forgiving. You were very forgiving.
I'm being honest. I don't know a lot of this stuff, and I'm never going to embrace it because it all seems so stupid to me. That seems stupid. The spider totems were stupid. The one more day was stupid.
Don't get me started.
All of this was stupid. So I'm never going to go back and dig through all this and figure it out. Like, I'm just jumping in now. I have my nice memories of 90s Ben Reilly, who was a nice boy in a sweatshirt, and that's what I'm going with. Okay?
Fair enough. You have Halloween rebooted him.
Yeah, exactly. Direct sequel only. Okay. I did not see the Vegas shootings or whatever you're referring to. Like, that just sounds wrong now. Like, I don't know what you're referring to here, and I'm bailing out. So, anybody else? Spider-Man? Anybody else want to touch this?
Anybody
want to touch this? No? Okay. That'll do it for comics, I think. Matt, you good?
Yes. So I'm good.
Matt, you had some mention.
Shout out. Our transitions today have been amazing. I'm going to shout out tonight is a supersize. It's a lot of wrestling going on. So it was a supersize episode of SmackDown on FS1. It is 2.5 hours. And that last half hour will overlay with AEW's Rampage show, they announced that, well, since we're doing that, they have a whole buy-in pre-show that is going to take place during the second hour of SmackDown. So this is just with all the back and forth of Tony Khan and, like, we want to beat you guys, but, you know, there's a lot going on tonight as far as wrestling, so definitely stay tuned for that. And also next week is Crown Jewel, which is the, you know, annual show, whatever, in Saudi Arabia. So that's going to command its own thing. We also got news that G4 has a launch date of November 16th, I believe. And then we also got the news that Saved by the Bell season 2 is, like, finally coming around later this year. So lots of good stuff for TV and wrestling.
And that's on, yeah. All right. So that's Matt's mention. I'm just going to say I finished Squid Game, and man, finally finished
it. Welcome. What'd you think of the ending? Yay, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I like the ending a lot. I thought I could predict things, and I didn't predict some of the big twists, and I kind of liked it. And, you know, bring me more Squid Game. So bring it to me now. Another. All right. So, yeah, that's my big announcement. I saw the end of Squid Game. That's all I'm going to say. All right. I think that's it. This is Comic Book Nation. We want to thank you guys for tuning in. If you're just getting into the show, we are live on Twitch, Facebook, and YouTube every Friday at noon Eastern time. If you missed the show, you can just watch the stream afterwards on any one of those platforms. If you just want the audio, we're on all your favorite podcast platforms, from Apple Podcasts down to iHeartRadio and Spotify. And you can tell any smart home device to listen to Comic Book Nation podcast and it'll fire up. And we are now streaming the show with ET Live on Paramount Plus Saturday nights. So go out and get that mountain of entertainment on Paramount Plus, because it has great programming like us on it. So be sure to check that out as well. If you want to follow us individually, you can find me at Kofi Outlaw.
You find me at Matt Aguilar CB.
And you can find me at Janelle Wheeler.
Thank you guys for tuning in. And if you like the show, go on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review, because we'd really appreciate it. This has been Comic Book Nation. Thank you guys for tuning in. We hope you have a good time and get some good content this weekend, and we will see you next week. Peace.